WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
CBS News Brief. The Supreme Court is hearing arguments right now on Colorado's ban on conversion therapy for LGBTQ teenagers. Attorney James Campbell represents the counselor challenging the law.
If heightened scrutiny doesn't apply, states can transform counselors into mouthpieces for the government.
The government shutdown has entered its seventh day. CBS News confirms a memo circulating at the White House that says furloughed workers might not get back pay. House Speaker Mike Johnson.
There are legal analysts who think that that is not something that government should do. That, if that is true, that should turn up the urgency and the necessity of the Democrats doing the right thing here.
Flight delays and cancellations are piling up in the meantime. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
Staffing issues, including sick calls, hit several major airports and ATC centers on day six of the government shutdown, with staffing at some facilities down by 50%.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This report on 540 WAUK is sponsored by Horizons Law Firm. Learn more about divorce coaching online at horizonslaw.com.
With local news on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A judge is holding off, at least for now, on part of his ruling that would have required proof of citizenship for voter registration in Wisconsin. Waukesha County Judge Michael Maxwell paused the requirement until lawyers argue the issue in court October 31st. He agreed to the delay after the DOJ warned his order could force a months-long shutdown of the online voter registration system. Other parts of the ruling, like reviewing current voter lists, will still move forward. More government cameras could soon be watching you in the Brew City. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson is now backing a plan to install traffic cameras to cut down on reckless driving and crashes. Mayor Johnson spoke yesterday alongside State Senator Dora Drake. A bill she supports would allow speed and red light cameras in the city. The cameras would target drivers going 15 miles per hour over the speed limit or drivers running red lights, focusing on the busiest and most dangerous intersections. The bill includes rules to limit the number of cameras and requires the city to inform the public before tickets start. And it'll be a celebratory train ride to the friendly confines. If you've got tickets to Wrigley for a potential clinching Game 3 of the National League Division Series, you could take a ride to Chicago on the Brewers Express. The special Amtrak train will depart Milwaukee's Intermodal Station tomorrow morning with cars decorated in Brewers colors. The first 300 passengers will get brats and giveaways. The game doesn't start until 4. The train will make regular stops on its way to Chicago's Union Station. That includes a normal stop in Sturtevant. Fans will still need tickets to enter the game. Amtrak will send a train back at 8 tomorrow night. If you're staying closer to home, there's a watch party planned at the Harley campus in Milwaukee. If the Brewers win, they move on in the playoffs. And that's the local update. It's all news all morning, 6 to 9 on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM. News anytime at waukradio.com. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Another Brewers comeback. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers with a 7-3 win over the Cubs last night in Milwaukee. The crew now up 2-0 in the best of 5 series, which now moves to Chicago tomorrow afternoon, just after 4 o'clock. Manager Pat Murphy.
How does this team have the best record in baseball? Nobody predicted they'd be over 500. And then we have all the injuries. Certainly nobody was banking on us.
Home runs from Andrew Vaughn, Jackson Churio, and William Contreras, who says he dedicates it to the fans.
I'm going to do everything for the Brewer fans. I'm going to do everything for my teammate. I want to be one of the best on the plate. I want to be the best catcher. They have to look control how play. I want to bring that energy too for the team. And now it's showtime.
The Cubs now down 2-0.
After getting off to a great start, those mistakes were 2-3 on homers is going to be, you're not going to win playoff games giving up 2-3 on homers. That was just too much to overcome.
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Get ready for a stretch that will actually feel like fall. For today, increasing sunshine with highs in the mid-60s. Tonight, mostly clear skies with lows in the mid to upper 40s. On Wednesday, sunny skies, cooler with highs only in the upper 50s. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
If you're trying to do your own divorce, divorce coaching can be a godsend. It can help you organize all of your financials, review your spouse's financials, and help you put together a proposal to resolve your divorce, or be able to articulate why the proposal is unfair and whether you can push back on things like an inheritance or the income of the other party. Call Horizons Law Group today and speak to attorney Michelle Fitzgerald, 262-432-3600 or horizonslaw.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
State Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner talking about this new piece of legislation in regards to housing. And who have you reached across the aisle and worked with on this issue?
I worked with folks like Rep Armstrong, who our districts couldn't look any different. That when you center the actual experiences of your district, not your political parties, but the things that people need, there's a lot more alignment and possibility when that is the centerpiece.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app, Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Homeless veterans are facing a crisis in Chippewa Falls, and Brittany Carlone from Wisconsin Watch will be here to tell us a solution on the horizon and the Brewers results and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Mutinoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are delighted to be joined by the fabulous farm babe from the Midwest Farm Report. Pam Yonke is here. It's been too long, my friend. How are you?
Oh, I'm well. I'm well. I'm back. I'm back after quite a little experience last week with World Dairy Expo. So You're catching me on a good day. I finally have got a little energy back. So
we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. We want to talk about the World Dairy Expo that was going on. That's a big event. And we'll get to that in a little bit, but there's so many other things to talk about, Pam, especially with regards to farmers and tariffs, and in particular, Wisconsin soybean growers. So I'm curious what you are hearing from folks when you're on the ground.
Well, for those of you that are watching on the stream, you may see me paging. I'm kind of watching headlines right now because we're expecting today more details on the federal aid that's designed to go directly to farmers that are being hit by the lower soybean prices. Now, there's a ripple effect all the way around on this. I don't want you to think that this is just for soybean growers. We understand that there may also be some other grains that are incorporated in some of this federal aid. That's why I'm kind of antsy about the details.
Sure.
But basically what this is designed to do is China has been missing in action as far as purchasing U.S. soybeans. They are purchasing incredible amounts of soybeans from Brazil and Argentina and other areas. Some of our U.S. soybeans might be, as they say, backdooring it, coming around from other vendors into China. But as far as direct sales, we've had zero. That's a major hit. And it's a statement, obviously. And so as farmers go into the harvest, the option of what's out there as far as price isn't very good. This morning, I was talking with a commodity broker, and he said for farms that are in the upper Midwest, so that'd be Minnesota, North Dakota, even South Dakota, all the way across, anybody that's growing soybeans, most of those soybeans would normally go to the Pacific Northwest, out by Seattle to go out ocean bearing to China. Well, they don't have them. They don't need them over there. So it's not only disrupting, and the farmers there are being, I'll call it dinged, because normally they would get a premium if they can get those beans going to the international market. It's a straight shot. You don't have to worry about a lot of congestion as far as the rail lines, so they can get her moving. That brings them a premium because of location, speed of harvest, that type of thing. That's all gone. So those marketing options that farmers normally had are all gone. So the money will likely go from the farmer's mailbox, shall we say, directly to everybody that they owe, because they've got bills that these beans were supposed to take
care
of.
To pay for it, yeah.
So fertilizer bills, seed bills, diesel, anything like that. So don't think that farmers are going to be driving around in Escalades or anything like that. And my apologies to anybody that's driving an Escalade. I love them too. But you get my point. They are not going to be going on vacations and all this kind of stuff. Most of that money is going directly to pay the debt that that crop incurred when they planted it. So like I said, I wish I knew a little bit more as of right now on the details, the amount. The other question I have is, now that the federal government shut down, who is going to get this money to them? USDA's normally would go through the Farm Service Agency office or some of our arteries that way. We're not getting anything from USDA today. Yeah. Today, like an idiot, I walked into the studio looking for my weekly crop progress report.
Not there.
That's generated by USDA.
Yeah.
So it's little things like that that we are still piecing together. So as I said, if you're watching on the stream, that's one of the reasons why I'm scrolling through my phone to see if there's any breaking news or if we're getting any details as of this time.
Well, and Pam, for someone like me who doesn't know that process as far as getting the money, it's not just USDA. If we're talking about money being sent to farmers, what is the entire process? Does it have to go through Congress, be approved, or is it just it's authorized by someone and the USDA issues money and then there you go?
Back her up to the first time that the Trump administration was in place. This is exactly the same thing they did at that time.
Okay.
And basically, because farmers are such a documented group of people, I mean, the federal government's got paper on them everywhere because of government programs, checkoff programs, all that kind of stuff. So the footprint is there as far as how. Mm-hmm. We don't know how much, and we don't know when. And again, like I said, if it's going to involve a USDA mechanism to try to deliver that money, even though most of it all goes direct deposit into the farm bank account, like I said, I'm still uncertain of which phalange of the federal government is going to pull the trigger. Yeah. But no, this is exactly the same thing that the Trump administration did the first time he was in office and lost some of our critical markets. Again, open the pocketbook and there she goes.
Well, and going back to the first Trump administration, our farmers never came back entirely from that. As you said, they lost markets that never came back because other countries were like, well, I'm going to find a more stable market where I can rely on things.
Yeah, that's a strong conversation that we're having in agriculture right now. And, you know, there's certain commodities that lend themselves to that kind of thing. For example, at any given time in the world, somebody's growing wheat. Well, you're not really at a competitive advantage if you're growing wheat and you can't market everywhere. Soybeans are getting to be the same way. Right now, South America dominates the world production in soybeans. So as long as China wants to keep going with them, despite their currency uncertainty, transportation issues in country and out, they've got the beans. But I've heard analysts say that China's consumption of soybeans is bigger this year than it was last year. So ultimately, they are going to have to come to the United States or, like I said, backdoor it from the United States somehow. But to your point, Jane, I mentioned it at the outset. The federal monies that are going to be distributed to farmers to offset the soybean losses are to offset debt that they are currently carrying on the soybeans they've got. That are sitting there.
They're
not coming ahead.
Right.
There is no profit.
Right.
You are just trying to cover your butt and keep credit coming your way for the growing season of 2026. So, yeah, to your point, this isn't a recovery. This is basically making sure that farmers stay viable to get into the next growing season.
It's a band-aid.
Yeah.
It's a band-aid.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And every farmer knows it.
If you're just joining us, we are speaking to the fabulous farm babe, the host of the Midwest Farm Report, Pam Jahnke. She is our guest today on Matt and Aaron Air, and we're talking to her about we talked to her as well as Darren Von Ruden about the farming world, getting updates from the community, and we're talking about the devastation to the soybean market, which has been zeroed out here in the United States due to tariff policies and whatnot. And the question I have for you, Pam, is you talk to farmers way more than I do. And we know, but what I do know is that they don't want handouts. They don't want the government coming in and writing checks all the time. They want partnership. They want leadership. But how do they feel about another bailout?
Yeah, well, I think what they ultimately are hoping is this is just one example of what will turn out to be a better outcome. You know, remember, farmers are like all of us. They are not, and this is a poor pun, they're not siloed. So it is not the only thing they think about. Mm-hmm. They think about immigration. They think about the possibilities down the road. If I have to suffer pain now, but it's going to bring change or dividends or better markets or more operations that I can work with, they will take that pain. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. They don't want to check, but they are ready to take the pain if in the end it helps the United States get into a better place with Canada, with the European Union. I mean, I know we're focusing on China, and rightly so. But if you talk to farmers, they'll say, hey, cheese exports are up over 30%. That's going into the world marketplace. Mm-hmm. There have been some agreements. We've got a lot of product now that's going into Southeast Asia. I never imagined. But as people's income grow, they have more interest in dairy products, for example. So granted, soybeans is a major, major commodity for the United States, for mm-hmm. Wisconsin farmers. But when you talk to farmers on an individual basis, they are wise to the whole makeup of the pie.
Yeah.
They don't focus on just one thing, especially yeah. Wisconsin. Now, that's Wisconsin. You get to other states where they are much more, I won't say monoculture, but corn, beans, pigs. That's mm-hmm. Iowa. Corn, yeah. Then, obviously, they get a little more excited. In Wisconsin, we've got such diversity.
Sure.
We see things a little differently. But like I said, they still would prefer to be a competitor in the open marketplace and go for it than have to stand by and see if this is going to take care of just the soybean bill. Now, that's just soybean. We're not talking about corn yet. We don't know if that's included. We're not talking about wheat. In Wisconsin, we've got dairy cows. There's nothing about, you know, how are you going to feed your dairy cows, that kind of stuff. So it's a process. We've seen it before. We'll see how this one goes, if it's got any tweaks. But as I said, as of right now, we're just lacking a lot of details.
I'm curious, though, Pam, and then we got to go to a break. But I saw a soybean farmer on Newsmax yesterday, and mm-hmm. he essentially said, we are being tariffed. So if I want to buy a part for my tractor, I pay more in order to get that part because of these tariffs. And now the president is going to give me back my money that I paid in tariffs. Is there any resentment that you're hearing among farmers about that?
No. And I'd be curious to know where that guy was. I mean, geography matters in agriculture. It really does.
Yeah.
And I understand. And it also matters what kind of equipment you're running. If you're running John Deere, that's still primarily sourced in the United States as far as, you know, the parts and that type of thing. If you've got something that comes from the European Union, that may be something that comes from Canada. That may be a brand that is a victim. But, you know, the bottom line is, the tariff money is supposedly some great savings pot somewhere being held by the federal government. And a dipper of that is coming back to U.S. farmers in the form of these discussed funds that are going to be targeted specifically to soybeans. So I get his point.
But at the same time, you said that dairy is doing well.
Yeah, dairy is doing very well. I mean, like almost, you know, it makes you kind of wonder when you can see cheese exports go up over 30%. And now remember, Wisconsin has got a huge, huge corner on that market because of specialty cheeses. Even with tariffs, you cannot find the flavors of cheeses produced in Wisconsin anywhere else in the world. You cannot find cranberries produced in Wisconsin anywhere else in the world. You just have to understand. So if you want them, you got to step up.
Yeah.
The relationships have been there. We talked about that a lot at World Dairy Expo. But like I said, farmers understand and will really understand it. I just wrote a check for my fertilizer bill for next year and about had to have a bottle next to me so that I could get through it, because that is insane. The fertilizer bill on my small farm in Oconal County, it was up 30% compared to last year.
Jeez.
And that's not only global demand on fertilizer, but it's also, we're going to dig you while we can. Could be Vladimir, could be, you know, you don't know, but all I know is PMD Farms kicked in extra 30% just to make sure that my crops will have something to grow with next year.
Wow. We're going to continue our conversation. She is the fabulous farm babe from the Midwest Farm Report. Pam Yonke is our guest, and we'll continue on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 540 WAUK.
Hey, it's downtown Donnie Brown on This Week in Waukesha. We are acting locally, thinking globally with Dawn Levine and Neil George of Waukesha Resist talking about their big demonstration coming up at Cutler Park on October 18th. Plus more about local politics and all the things that are important to us.
This Week in Waukesha, a weekly podcast presentation of 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM. Find the podcast at waukradio.com.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in about a half an hour, we will wrap up the show, as we always do, with a segment called This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today is the hot and spicy edition, so stay tuned for that. Right now, though, we're joined by the fabulous farm babe with the Midwest Farm Report. Pam Yonke is here. We're talking all things farming. We wanted to talk a little bit, Pam, about, and we've talked about this before with you, about mental health on the farm and whether or not our farmers are getting enough help, whether or not they are seeking help. Can you give us a little update on where we are on that?
Well, we're focused in the Midwest Farm Report, along with Rural Mutual Insurance this week, is trying to really bring visibility to the resources that are available to farms and farm families. This is a difficult time, always is. I mean, harvest is busy. You're dependent on the weather, which has been very favorable for Wisconsin farmers this year.
So far.
But you do get tired. You know, that stretch last week, they estimated that we probably had somewhere in the neighborhood of 55,000 people at World Dairy Expo. Probably could have had about another 10 or so if the weather wouldn't have been so good. But Wisconsin farmers stayed home to keep harvesting, because in Wisconsin, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah.
You keep on rolling. But when you start doing long hours, part of the reason we talk about it is safety. You're not as sharp. You miss that step. Just simple things that can be life-altering when you're working around big equipment on the farm. So we think safety. But then there's also the questions that we were talking about before the break. Holy man, this crop of soybeans that I thought was going to bring profit is now barely break even, if that. You worry about that kind of thing. You worry about milk production is up quite substantially, that means milk prices are starting to slip.
Are down,
you worry about that kind of thing. So there's never a lack of things to preoccupy farmers when it comes to worry. But we do point out that they're getting better about using resources. I've talked to Jess Beauchamp. She is with the Wisconsin Farmer Wellness Program. It's 24/7. Farmers are becoming more comfortable calling her and saying, you know, here's what's going on, or just a little something. She can give them a voucher. And she said the percentage of vouchers that are now being used has gone up.
That's great.
Which is good stuff.
That's
a really good time.
Yes.
Because, you know, I'll tell you, and honestly, I don't think we have to segment out farmers. Farmers are like all the rest of us. It's not just about the commodities and the weather. It's also about maybe somebody in the family's got a drug problem or an alcohol problem, or there's an abuse problem going on, or just family dynamics. Listen, we all know that is not easy to talk about. Mm-hmm. Farmers are always about rub a little dirt on it and keep on going. It'll fix itself.
Right.
It'll be fine.
Right.
And we know that's not the case. So again, call volumes remain pretty steady at the Wisconsin Farm Center housed within the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They've got the Farmer Wellness Program that's 24/7. So if Jess isn't answering the phone, there is another counselor that will answer the phone to make sure you're getting hooked together. Jess also told me that more and more, and I think we learned this, farmers sure learned it during the pandemic, they are creating virtual forums where they can come together, just like we're doing on the Civic
sure.
Media stream,
mm-hmm.
and talk about what's going on in their lives. And you can remain anonymous, you know, shut your camera off if you still want to be involved in the conversation. And you form a little bit of a bond with other people that are struggling with the same kinds of things in the same profession. So are we there yet? Meh, I don't know. Do I feel better that there's a little bit more uptake on the resources that are out there? Yes. Do we have a ways to go? Yes. Like I said, there's a lot of different things that any one family's dealing with. Farmers are no different than that.
Sure.
But I do see, especially the younger farmers, are more likely to engage in the conversation. The older demographic is still
hard.
Put on it and get on.
Yeah. I'm gonna fix it myself, and I don't need any help. And there is no shame in asking for help.
Yeah.
There is no shame. And admitting that you need somebody to talk to. And what you just mentioned with those forums that they're having, that's a huge thing. That's a huge step in the right direction.
I sometimes think that farmers, when I get with my farmer buddies, now granted, I'm an old broad, so they've known me for quite a while, but you know, they never do it. They never think that people care about them. They just don't think people care about them. And you and I see social media posts and all that kind of stuff, and they just are so doggone humble. They do not think people care about them like that. And I'll tell you, I've talked to guys that are very upset with their situation, be it the farm or whatever. And I said, you know what, buddy? You don't realize what you can do. You are a jack of all trades, master of none. You're a mechanic. You're an electrician. You know animal nutrition. You know budgets. You do accounting. You do bookkeeping. You do all of these things that any one person dedicates their career to. You do it all in a day, and you take it for granted. Do not sell yourself short. Don't knock your value down.
Mm-hmm.
You are incredible. And sometimes, like I said, it's that tree from the forest kind of thing. Sometimes I need to wrap them alongside the head and say, look at how great you are. Look at how fabulous you are, you know?
That's why you're the fabulous, but that's why you're the fabulous farm babe.
And I put a link to that program through the Farm Center in our show notes. So if there's people out there listening who want to seek help, who need a voucher, go there, click that link, civicmedia.us/shows, look for Matt and Air on Air. It's hour two of today. It'll be there for you if you need help.
Yep, beautiful.
Check it out. Take advantage of it. She is with the Midwest Farm Report, the fabulous farm babe, and our friend Pam Yonke. Thank you so very much, Pam. It was great to see you. We will talk to you hopefully soon.
Absolutely.
Take care.
Be here. Have a good one.
You too. News coming up next, and then Civic Media's genie of just about everything, Terry Barr, will be here. Stay close. This is Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, I try my best to be just like I am, but everybody wants you to be just like them. They say sing while you sleep, and I just get bored. I ain't gonna work on Maggie's farm no more.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 540 WAUK, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
With local news on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. 700 painters, 670 movers, and 430 certified lead removers. Getting lead out of Milwaukee Public Schools was almost a jobs program, with a majority of the effort complete. MPS has wrapped up lead paint cleanup in 42 schools, covering more than 35 million square feet of walls. The $20 million project was launched after a student was found to have lead poisoning linked to exposure in an MPS school earlier this year. The district aimed to finish work at elementary schools built before 1950 by early September. That's done. The plan is to complete remediation in all other older buildings by the end of this year. The push to check voter citizenship in Wisconsin is on hold for now. Waukesha County Judge Michael Maxwell has delayed part of his order requiring verification for new voter registrations. He's set arguments for October 31st. The state's Department of Justice says the change would have meant a major overhaul of the MyVote system in a months-long online shutdown. Maxwell has left other parts of his ruling in place, including a review of current voter rolls. Brewers fans heading to Chicago hoping for a clinch have a special way to get there. The Brewers Express is taking people from Milwaukee to Chicago for Game 3 of the NLDS. If the Brewers win, they go on in the playoffs and the Cubs go home. Tomorrow morning, Amtrak's Hiawatha train will depart Milwaukee's intermodal station decked out in Brewers blue and yellow, with giveaways, brats, and a DJ to kick off the trip. Fans will be able to hop on at the regularly scheduled routes. That includes at the airport and in Sturtevant. If going to Illinois isn't in your plan, there's a watch party at the Harley campus in Milwaukee. The game tomorrow starts at 4:08. And that's the local update. It's all news all morning, 6 to 9 on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM. News anytime at WAUKradio.com. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Even though she said no to performing at the Super Bowl halftime show, Taylor Swift is on top again as her new album, The Life of a Showgirl, dropped on October 3rd and went right to number one. If that weren't enough, Swift also has the number one movie in America with her 89-minute video celebrating the release of her new album called Taylor Swift, The Official Release Party of a Showgirl. Saturday Night Live season 51 kicked off this past weekend and pulled no punches in going after the president after Trump's stunt last week in front of over 800 military higher-ups, which included a lecture about facial hair and maintaining a reasonable weight. During the skit, James Austin Johnson, who played Donald Trump, told those in the sketch not to go too far or they would face consequences. They went pretty far. It's worth a Google. When Entertainment Weekly asked the White House for a statement, spokeswoman Abigail Jackson said she had more entertaining things to do, like watching paint dry, or maybe something even less exciting, like a president's speech to military generals. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This report on WAUK is sponsored by Pickleball Kingdom, just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road, Menominee Falls. Pickleball Kingdom.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Gradual clearing to take place for your Tuesday afternoon. North winds 5 to 15 and highs in the mid-60s. For the overnight, mostly clear skies. Winds will be lighter. Look for low temperatures to drop into the mid and upper 40s. Right now, it's 55.
Everyone's playing pickleball, and Pickleball Kingdom in Menominee Falls is where it's at.
This is Donald Driver. Listen up. You never know who you'll see.
With 17 pro courts, there's no waiting around. Court times that fit your schedule, plus an impressive pro shop, event space, full locker rooms with showers, and a bar with big screens. Or catch the action live. Just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road. Follow Pickleball Kingdom on Instagram or Facebook. Pickleball Kingdom, Menominee Falls.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, comedian Jim Flanagan joins to talk a Wisconsin date. Then a mystery guest drops by. Let's light it up Tuesday style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Well, I'm the genie of the lamp, and I've got the devil's head. Three wishes I would grant them for the next day.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Congratulations to our multi-state text-to-win grand prize winner, Dennis from Minocqua. Listening to WCQM, picked up the grand prize in our Go for the Green and Gold contest. Dave in Kenosha and Ruth from Chautauqua and Luann in Amory and Angie from Hammond all picked up daily prizes, $200 in cash, gold jewelry. Thanks to everyone who participated. It was so much fun. And we will do another Text to Win contest. Make sure you download the Civic Media app. That is the only way to play. She is now joining us once a month, our friend and colleague. We call her the genie of just about everything in Civic Media. Award-winning journalist Terry Barr is here. Good morning, Terry.
Oh, good morning to you and the listeners on the stream, wherever you may be listening. And congrats. Do you know how the Text to Win went? Did you guys win this time?
We did not.
Oh,
do you know who won? Because he had the word twice. Tom Hartman.
Oh, no kidding.
Tom Hartman won.
Rigged.
What?
The whole thing was rigged.
Tom Hartman won.
Oh my God.
And it's funny, Terry, because I was on with Todd yesterday. I was on Todd's show yesterday at 2:30.
Yeah, you have the Mondays.
And he brought that up. And at the very beginning of the contest, I texted him and I said, I'm going to contest the results because Tom Hartman gets two words and we only get one.
That's not fair.
I just think, you know.
Yeah. I was cheering for you and Greg and for Todd because it's always so fun to listen to the two of you and find out, you know, who's going to win.
Next time around, we're just not going to count Tom Hartman.
Wow, you really go into like a Trumpian way here. Well, if we don't count Tom Hartman, it didn't happen.
Then we won.
Yeah.
We're following a good example.
Oh my God.
Following the prime example of how to make sure you win.
I didn't mean to come on and cause trouble.
Oh, really, Terry? You didn't? You didn't know you were going to kick this hornet's nest? Cool.
You were at the Brewers game.
I'm surprised I have a voice today. Here's our, you know, we get the towels
towel.
And scream. And, oh, you guys, I just love the Brewers so much. Since I was little, yeah. Thank you to my dad. Oh. And this is quite a ride right now.
What was the atmosphere like at AmFam Field last night?
You could not hear anything. I don't think Milwaukee fans stopped cheering from before the team was even introduced. It was so crazy. I've never heard it that loud in there unless you've been there for a concert.
One of the things that people were talking about was the fear of the invasion of the suburban Chicagoites, North Siders, whatever you want to call them, Cubs fans. But
yeah,
it felt like
those
least from the highlight reel I watched from yesterday, it felt like the Brewers had a very deep representation in the stadium. And there were Cubs fans there, of course, but it certainly wasn't a thing where, you know, the Brewers were present. That's what it sounded like.
Absolutely. And I think even more so since Saturday, the Cubs fans were pretty loud Saturday, but they were quieted quickly when the Brewers won, basically right from the beginning. But last night was a little different because they started strong.
Yeah.
And the Brewers had to claw back to get that win. But we noticed even just walking around, not as big of a representation from Cubs fans. Yeah. So I do see now they are putting out a similar tweet. Don't sell your tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't sell your Wrigley tickets.
Now,
sure.
Of course, that was the thing earlier in the weekend. Don't sell your tickets to Cubs fans if you're coming to Milwaukee. Yeah.
And oh boy, are they whining this morning? Wine.
Oh my God, Twitter.
Wine.
Oh my gosh, Twitter is just
everything's unfair.
Yeah. Or the Brewers
Why are you celebrating that? That wasn't that big of a thing. Me.
Yeah, it's just really whiny, and it's
oh, kind of that's awful.
It's kind of amusing.
Yeah, and the fans that I ran into, and even you know, chatted with here and there, the Cubs fans, they were having a great time.
Good.
Yeah. Those who were at the game. So then you wonder who's the complainers.
It's the sports writers who were complaining. Yeah. This morning.
Oh yeah. It was really like I saw a lot of people who write for Chicago sports media, and they just will not allow. It's like they don't understand or they can't calculate joy in their operating system. So when people are having fun, they immediately have to go the you know, bitter writers, you know, real 1940s behavior of like, I don't understand why these kids celebrate. Because he's a 23-year-old kid. He's pitching in the major league.
Absolutely.
Of course he's happy.
Of course he's excited.
Oh, yeah. He played great. Yeah. And if I were him, I would have been celebrating my play, too.
Absolutely.
Ignore the haters.
Ignore
the haters.
Yeah.
Keep having fun. That's what this team is all about.
Absolutely.
Darn right.
Go Crew tomorrow from Wrigley Field. It's going to be a big game.
Yes, it is.
They could wrap it up tomorrow.
They can wrap it up. In my brain, if they get... Let's see here. Three, four. They only need like eight or nine victories in a row, and they win everything.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. That's easy.
There you go.
They can do it.
There you go. All right, Darren, what have you got? What have you got for us today? What's going on around Wisconsin?
It is a new slice of Wisconsin, and I love this. It's perfect timing with the fall leaves. And it's a great chance for everyone to just sort of slow down, take a drive. You can only go 45 miles an hour on these particular rustic roads.
Ooh,
that
I like
I'm talking about. Yeah, rustic roads, 50 years old this year with the very first one in Taylor and Price counties. Now, I'm going to ask a few questions.
All right.
You know... why we have rustic roads?
Because they're cool. Winner. Got it.
I love that. That is a great answer.
I don't think that's the answer. It
pretty much is the answer.
Really?
Way back 50 years ago, they wanted an opportunity for people to just slow down, as we said, to be able to hike on these roads, to take your bicycle, your motorcycle, or if you are in a car, to keep the speed down and look around and enjoy the beauty of Wisconsin. And some of these roads are gravel, dirt, and some are paved. So you're getting a different experience no matter where you travel. Do you know how many rustic roads are designated all across the state?
122.
Ooh.
Just picked that out of the air.
Okay. 126.
Whoa!
Excellent. Jane! 61 counties now have rustic roads, and that's across 760 miles in Wisconsin. I just think this is so great when you find out these are like hidden gems.
Yes,
actually,
they are.
Where you can go, and what a great time to go. And then to think these are going to be, you know, celebrating 50 years starting this month. And I did look up, let's see. Racine County has 6 rustic roads designations.
Okay.
Waukesha County has 3.
Okay.
And then Washington and Ozaukee County together has 3 that kind of cross the borders. There are maps. They're really fun, too. Very interactive. You can zoom on in to see what you would be seeing. Yeah. And that's all at the WisconsinDOT.gov website. And then just look under rustic roads. I think this is so great. And, you know, another thing is the sign is very open when you first hit that rustic road. It's a big brown sign with gold lettering that says, "Welcome to this rustic road." So I just want to encourage everybody, what a great time of year to get out there and enjoy the state. And again, to slow down.
Yes.
Everybody keeps saying, you know, touch the grass.
Yes.
Or maybe touch the leaves or just
yeah.
get outside for a minute and just have a Clearing of the mind.
You absolutely
need that.
And I do think that motorcycle riders have probably been hip to this for much longer, these rustic drives and these scenic drives than a lot of us are. But I know, you know, motorcycle clubs do big rides in areas like that. And it's very much about looking around you and seeing what's there. And now the trees, a friend and I were just in Prairie du Chien over the weekend. They're just starting to turn in that corner of the state. But I would think over the next two and a half, 3 weeks, the colors are going to be unbelievable.
And officials say if you happen to travel somewhere that is not considered a rustic road or doesn't have the designation, it's how they find out about it through you.
So
you can be part of this. Isn't that fun?
That's wonderful.
Help designate your own rustic road.
Yeah, there are applications on the Department of Transportation website. Pretty simple to fill out. And then they go take a look at it, take photos, and let you know if your designation is a yes or no.
Look at that.
I want that job. That'd be a great job.
I know. Wouldn't that be fun?
I'll go look. Go for a drive.
There you go.
Sure, why not?
I love that idea. I think you'd have a good time.
Terry Barr is our guest. She is an award-winning journalist, and we also call her the genie of just about everything at Civic Media. You are involved in so much stuff, and you do a lot of writing. You've done a lot of writing for our show, Terry.
I have.
Yeah.
And any chance I get, you always have wonderful guests, important topics. And I think those conversations are important to get out to people that maybe didn't get a chance to hear it or prefer to read it as a website article. But we always include either the video or the sound from your show. So, you know, anybody who is interested in anything that is on your show, multiple ways to be able to catch up on your topics. And I love that.
You're part of the Civic Media Today now, aren't you? Putting together our daily newsletter?
I do a little piece because I write about all the different shows. Those pieces go into Civic Media Today. But we also just re-kicked off the overall Civic Media Digest that started when Civic Media began. And we've had a couple changes along the way. And I was handed this 2 weeks ago. And so I'm writing this now once a week.
Because you know you have so much free time.
So you're much just, time.
Just laying around doing, Terry, the genie of just about doing nothing.
She's the genie of bonbons.
There you go.
She's just bonbon girl.
Thank you.
Oh, darn it, that insult didn't work.
No, there are so...
I don't take that as an insult.
There are so many resources that we would really love you to avail yourself of that Civic Media offers, including the Daily Digest, including Civic Media Today. Mm-hmm. And if you want to find out more about those, you can go to our website. It's the best place to go, civicmedia.us. Terry Barr joins... You're going to hear her all over the place, all over the network. I know you joined Pete Schwabba, and you talk about music, and...
Right.
This is why she is the genie of just about everything.
There you go.
Oh, you guys are the best.
Terry Barr, thank you so very much. We will see you in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
Stay close. When we return, we're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, the hot and spicy edition. This is Matt Mayer on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm genie. Tick, tick, tock. Hurry up now.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved. And frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, author, New York Times bestselling author, Andra Watkins is going to be joining us. We have Andra started early on with a Substack about Project 2025.
Mm-hmm.
Before this was even mainstream in the news,
yeah,
she had been covering this. She was raised in a white Christian nationalist household, and now there are a number of members of that group within the Trump administration, and you can see it by some of the things that they're enacting through Project 2025, which yes, was always the playbook for a second Trump administration.
The author works for him.
Yes, the author, Russ Vogt, is the head of the Office of Management and Budget.
Yep.
So Andra Watkins will be joining us in hour number one. And in the second hour tomorrow, Darren Von Ruden, the Wisconsin Farmers Association president, is going to join us. He, of course, is a dairy farmer. Mm-hmm. But we're going to be talking about what's going on with tariffs and all that stuff. I'm sure he's hearing many, many different things.
Yeah, absolutely. And we thank Pam Yonke for coming on today, giving her viewpoint on what's going on in the farming community as well.
Absolutely.
Because we, as she said, they have value, and we need to know what's going on, and we need to know what they're going through so we can, I can't help, I don't have money, I can at least help advocate on their behalf if
absolutely
that's possible.
And as we were talking with Pam, too, just about mental health and everything, and this goes for all of us, there's no shame in asking for help.
Correct.
Please don't think there's no help. You are not alone. There's help out there.
Yes.
It is, Calvin, 10:55, approaching 10:55. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. janesays@civicmedia.us. This from CTV News in Canada.
Eh?
Melanie Kentner has the byline. The headline reads, Salsa Heist, $35,000 worth of dips stolen in Essex County, Ontario.
This is a hot story, let me tell you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ontario Provincial Police say $35,000 worth of salsa and chips were stolen during the theft of two tractor trailers. One, a 53-foot-long enclosed trailer stolen at the end of September. It was loaded with cases of salsa and dip worth approximately $35,000. The truck was later returned to the location, damaged and without the trailer, but they brought the truck back.
Yeah, the truck doesn't belong to me, so that's not what's
Canadian. I wouldn't steal that.
I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, Jane, okay, times are tough. Costs are going up. Some Mexican restaurants don't just give you chips and salsa for free anymore. And if you have to find your way of getting one of your favorite things to do, which is taking your number three thing to get your number one thing to your face, then that's what you do. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to justify crime here, but times are tough. We do what we can.
The transport truck that was stolen, actually 2 days later, there was a second transport truck without a trailer that was stolen from the same area. It was later seen towing what investigators believe was the truck, the trailer that was stolen earlier with the chips and salsa.
It's a salsa wave.
It's
the crime salsa wave.
The stolen trailer and the cargo remain outstanding. No one knows where the trailer went. Investigators believe a Jeep Rubicon was seen in the area and may have been involved. So if you live in Essex County, Ontario, the local police asking anyone who might have information to contact them. You can stay anonymous.
You know, if you notice at parties, one of your friends or family is gifting everybody chips and salsa.
Big, like, jugs.
Yeah. Huge salsa flag there.
Yeah.
Call the provincial police.
Yes.
And, I mean, just, I know you don't want to snitch on a friend, but this is important. Be a part of the solution.
Be part of the solution.
Yeah, there you
exactly.
Go.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and watching on the live stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit. And you have the chance to share it. We have news coming up next, followed by the winner of the Text and Win contest, Tom Hartman.
Oh, my God. Let it go.
Tom Hartman coming up next from 11 until 2. Todd Alba will take over from 2 to 4 p.m. Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. She's got her great segment called What's on Your Mind?
Sound off
with Maggie Dawn today in the 5 o'clock hour. And then Pete Schwabe wrapping it all up. From 6 to 8 p.m. with a little nightlight. So stay tuned for that.
And I know there's no game until tomorrow, but still, go crew.
Go crew. And if you're going to be riding the train tomorrow,
oh yeah,
please take pictures.
Yeah, let us know. We'd love to.
And send them in. We would love to post them. You can always do that at 855-752-4842. All right, we got news coming up next. So keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And we will see you tomorrow.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
CBS News brief. Attorney General Pam Bondi tells Congress federal efforts in major cities have led to hundreds of arrests and recovery of hundreds of illegal guns.
Our federal surges in Washington, D.C. and Memphis are a perfect example of how the Department of Justice should operate.
The CBS's Caitlin Huey-Burns is covering the prolonged government shutdown.
Both sides remain very entrenched in their positions, as they have for a week now.
The furloughed workers usually get back pay when a shutdown is settled. A memo suggests federal officials are looking for ways around that. The shutdown has led to thousands of flight delays. This flyer expressing some frustration in Denver.
I left Nebraska, came here. And as I was waiting, my husband in California informed me that there were no air traffic controllers in Burbank, California until 10 o'clock tonight.
Controllers working without pay right now. CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.
This report.